title is The Gospel Applies Universally. The Gospel Applies Universally. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for time to study what Paul has written in the book of Galatians about the gospel. The gospel, Lord. We know that the gospel means the good news. We're thankful for it. It truly is good news, and it's life and death determining for us. So we pray, Lord, that we understand what it is. It's so important. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been looking at the book of Galatians. In an introduction, I said that the book of Galatians is telling us that there's only one gospel. There's only one gospel. And that gospel, if we don't teach that gospel, if we teach a different gospel, we are cursed to hell. And if we follow the wrong gospel, we are cursed to hell. That's how important this is. Gospel, the word gospel means good news. The good news, as we understood from previous messages, first of all, this good news that there's only one of, okay? The rest is bad news. But the good news has come to us. This good news, there's only one of them, and we know it's true because God sent it. The good news, the gospel, comes from God. We know it's true because it's from God. Paul didn't invent it. Paul, who wrote this book of Galatians, was dead set against the gospel. He was killing people and helping people be killed because they believed and taught the gospel. So Paul says, I didn't invent this thing. I was dead set against it. It was a miracle that I got converted to it. The other reason we know it's true is because all the apostles agree. You've heard 4 out of 5 dentists agree, you know, use this or that mouthwash or whatever. Well, 13 out of 13 apostles agree that the gospel, as presented by Paul in the book of Galatians, is true. 13 out of 13 apostles agree. That's how we know it's true. It's from God, and all the apostles agree. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, apostles are just men, and they have made actual mistakes. Even Peter, the supposed first pope, had to be confronted by Paul about his hypocrisy, Peter's hypocrisy in his public stance on the gospel. So we know it's true that they are in agreement, the apostles, and we know what it is. And it's in your bulletin. And as I said, this is a matter of life and death for us. And so it's in the bulletin every week. In this, if you look at the calendar, and you look underneath the calendar in the box, you know, there's a little bit extra in there, but mostly that's the gospel right there. What was it? It's what was rediscovered 499 years ago and published on Halloween 499 years ago. In 1 year and a couple months, it'll be 500 years since the gospel was rediscovered by Martin Luther. And that's what started what amounted to just about a revolution in religion and in understanding for people. It was a freeing thing. People were in bondage previously, and they were freed by this. What is it? Only grace, not works. Only faith, not ceremony. We're saved by grace only, through faith only. Only faith only in Christ. We don't get saved by our good works. We don't get saved through ceremonies. We're not saved by going to the priest or to the church. We're saved directly by God. By grace, through faith, in Christ alone. And the scripture is the source of our understanding. And as a result of this, only God gets the glory. Those are the 5 solas from the Reformation from 499 years ago. There was a period of time when the great bulk of the world, and still is truly, but even then, much more so, was in darkness about this truth. But now we know, the Reformation has rediscovered this good news. So the good news is what I've described. And next, we want to look at the fact that this gospel or good news applies universally. It's not like there are exceptions or it's for specific people or just people in a certain country or an age or a time period, but it's throughout all time for all people. So as I've already introduced, the gospel is by faith, and the gospel brings the Spirit. Let's look at our text now in the bulletin. Open up to the second reading, and I'll read. You can, why don't we stand for this reading? Let's all stand and turn to your bulletin where it says second reading, Galatians 3, 1 to 14. See where that is? It's a whole page of text that we're going to read together. I'll read the reference, and then together we'll read the text. Galatians 3, 1 through 14. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Do you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now, that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. Please be seated. So we're going to see in this section, Galatians 3, 1 through 14, that the
gospel applies universally.
It applies universally. First of all, look at verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? In the previous chapter, Paul had been saying that you can nullify the grace of God when you add works, when you add law. The grace of God is of no use. And so why would Christ even need to die? Paul says, I publicly portrayed before you the fact that Jesus Christ was crucified. You all know that Jesus Christ was crucified. What would be the point of that if there were not a necessity for him to be crucified? If you could save yourself by obeying a law, then there would be no need for Jesus to be crucified. Instead, what is needed for you is to believe, to have faith. Faith and belief are the same word in the Greek. We just don't have a noun and a verb that look the same. So we have two words that are the same idea. And in the Greek, it's one word. They have a noun version and a verb version for faith and believing. It's the same word. So whenever you see faith, you can think of believing. Or whenever you see belief, you can think of faith. It's the same word in the Greek. And so looking down through these verses, we see over and over again how Paul is talking about faith. Faith in verse 2, okay? Faith in verse 5. Verse 6 says Abraham believed. That's faith. And verse 7, those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Verse 8, God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Verse 9, so then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Now that's faith again, you see, twice in that verse. Those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the faither, the believer. And so, and if we were to continue through verses 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, we'd see again and again about faith. The difference between the gospel, the good news, and the bad news is the bad news says you've got to do something so that God will be happy with you and he'll let you into heaven. That would be the bad news. Because the fact is, you can't successfully please God by your actions. The good news is you don't have to. Jesus did it for you. Jesus was the one who perfectly obeyed the law. Now we don't need to obey the law in order to satisfy God's just demands of perfect obedience. Jesus obeyed for us. Instead, we believe that God will make us righteous by giving us Jesus' righteousness. We receive Jesus' righteousness. We look like we're Jesus to God because God gives us his righteousness. God gives us the righteousness of God. Jesus is God. God gives us his own righteousness. So the gospel, the good news, it's about faith. It's about believing. It's not about doing things that are good. And as a result of that is the Spirit comes to us. It comes to us through faith. We don't have to do some magnificent act for God to give us the Spirit. God gives us the Spirit willingly. We ask. God says, if you ask, you will receive. If we find that in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we will find that Jesus is talking about, if you ask for the Spirit, you'll receive the Spirit. That's what he's talking about. God will not hold back the Spirit from those who ask God for his Spirit. And so, the gospel is about faith. It's not about works. It's not about doing good. It's about believing that Jesus already did the good thing and he suffered for the suffering that we deserved. So the next thing we want to see is that the gospel, okay, the Galatians apparently had been saved through faith, at least it appeared to be, and then they seemed to want to do some other things to add on to that faith. They said, we need to be circumcised. We need to obey the Jewish laws. We need to do all these things for God to continue to accept us. And Paul says, no, the gospel doesn't just apply to your initial salvation. It also applies to your continued salvation, your sanctification. As you continue to be made holy, you're not going to continue to be made holy through your good works. You're going to be made holy continually through that same good news. God is making you holy. It's an act of God. It's not your action. Let's look at that. Verse 2. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Boy, how's that for... That's really sarcastic. Hey, just tell me one thing. Okay? Just tell me one thing. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? You're going to do something fleshly of your own power, and you think that's going to make you more perfect than you are now, where you got the Spirit through faith. What's the next step? It's not going to be some other thing. It's perfect. You're not going to be perfected by your own activities. It's going to be the same way, through that same gospel of faith in Christ and receiving the Spirit. The gospel doesn't just get us saved. The gospel is at work throughout our continually throughout our Christian walk. That same way we please God by faith. It's
The book of Hebrews says, it's impossible, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith. That is how we please God, through faith, through believing. Verse 4, did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? These people were Christians. They were not accepted necessarily by their fellow either Jews, if they were Jews, or in the case of the Galatians, especially Gentiles, who were leaving behind their idol worship of their fellow comrades in their country. And those that were Jews were leaving behind the traditions of Judaism. And so they were ostracized, and so they were suffering. So he says, you've suffered, and now you want to go back to those things you left. Or back, you want to go to things that are not going to help you. And if you do, you will be cursed to hell, because you cannot mix grace with works. You cannot mix faith with the law. He says, the future of your life in Christ depends on you continuing to remain depending upon Christ. You have to depend on Christ. The gospel applies to salvation and sanctification. So verse 5, so then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? And some say, well, I believe, and so I am righteous before him, but in order for me to receive more blessings, I have to do things, people think. I'm going to earn the right to blessings. But Paul says, no, the gospel applies to your blessings too, each day. It not only to your salvation, not only to your continued salvation and sanctification, but also to the receiving of blessings day by day. It's still through faith. It's not something you earn any time. God's love doesn't come to you by you earning it. When did you have to earn your love in your family? If you did have to earn your love, then that love was capricious. That love was not a godly love. I mean, and I'm sure that the love of people is not perfect, okay? But, as I've said about my mother at her funeral, you know, I wasn't the perfect son, but she always said I was perfect. And she loved me. And it didn't matter if I wasn't perfect, because she loved me anyway. And that's the way God is. He loves us. We don't have to do things to earn his love. God gave his son because he loves us. He provided his son for us when we were yet sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. Okay. So we receive God's blessing of salvation. We receive God's blessing of sanctification. And we receive all other blessings throughout our Christian walk by virtue of the gospel, by virtue of Jesus Christ and his merit. He earned it. He earned it for us. So, it applies to blessings. Verse 6, we're going to see here, and again, apparently, you know, these folks wanted to be circumcised, and they wanted to obey the laws, and Paul says, well, let's see, I think that the gospel applies even to your hero, Abraham. You want to go back to Abraham? Well, let me tell you a little bit about Abraham, says Paul. Verse 6, even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. We read that back in the previous text in Genesis 15, see? Genesis 15, 6, we read that earlier. Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. Now, Paul, not in this text, but elsewhere, says that Abraham hadn't even been circumcised yet when God said, when Moses wrote about Abraham that he was reckoned righteous just by virtue of faith. So, you Galatians, do you really think you need to have circumcision in order to have righteousness? You don't.
Abraham didn't have circumcision, not at this point. This was before he was circumcised. And faith through faith, God reckoned righteousness. In other words, he reckoned it. He counted it. He transferred it. He considered it to be Abraham's righteousness when Abraham believed. So, verse 6, even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. You see, under the old covenant, the only way to really be a believer in God was to become a Jew. You had to follow Jewish customs. You had to be circumcised, become a Jew, and believe in their ways of life, which were given to them by the law and by God. But Paul is saying that all came, elsewhere he also writes, that all came after this. The law came 400 years later. So you want to obey these laws? Abraham didn't even have those laws. You think you need to obey those laws? Well, Abraham's the father of faith. He's your hero. The law was 400 years later. So why are you going to the law? Abraham didn't use that law to be justified. Elsewhere, he says. And so it's those who are of faith, those who are believers who are sons of Abraham, not physical descendants of Abraham or people who are converted to Judaism through circumcision. No, it's those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And it's important about this sons. We're going to see that in a minute. Because it's the sons who receive the blessings. But it's not the physical sons. It's the spiritual sons. Verse 8. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So, the new covenant came, and the gospel spread to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles didn't have to become Jews in order to be saved. This was a new age in God's plan of salvation for the world, and so this was prophesied to Abraham. Abraham, being the father of all the faithful, whether they were Jews or Gentiles, God said to Abraham, all the nations will be blessed in you. When God says nations, he means not Jews. That's one nation, okay? The Jews that God chose. God is saying to Abraham, first of all, the Jews didn't exist yet, okay? That would be after Abraham had Isaac as a son, and then Isaac had his son Jacob, and then Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and that's the beginning of the Jews. And God is promising Abraham, it's not just the Jews who will be blessed. It'll be the nations, all the nations. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the faither, the believer. We're not blessed by having a physical relationship to Abraham. Now, you may think, how does this apply to me today? Well, someone might tell you, you need to physically go to a certain place to be blessed by God. You might need to come to a building or come see a person. Or they might say to you, you need to physically, because you are physically related to your parents and your parents believe, therefore you're believing. You're somehow in with God because your parents are in with God. So now you're okay because they're okay. And that's what Paul is contradicting. Paul's contradicting that kind of thinking, that there's going to be some physical relationship between you and other believers, and that makes you a believer. No, you're a believer because you believe. That's how you are justified. That's how you receive righteousness of God. It's by believing. That makes you a son of Abraham, just by believing. You don't have to be physically related to Abraham. You don't have to be physically related to another Christian. You need to believe in Jesus Christ to be saved. So the gospel applies to Abraham, your hero. He didn't get justified any other way but through faith. So if you want to be like Abraham, Paul says, don't get circumcised. Have faith and have only faith and don't add other things to it. Then you are of faith and you are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Verse 10. We're going to see now, so the gospel applies to Gentiles, okay? You may be a Gentile. You don't have to be physically related to Abraham. You don't have to even become adopted as a Jew and be circumcised to become a Jew and therefore be, in a sense, related to Abraham. No, the gospel applies to Gentiles too. Next, he says, in fact, the gospel applies to Jews. When the law came, they still needed this good news, this gospel. It applied to them too. Why? Because there was nothing the law could do to save them. God gave the Jews all these laws, and those laws could not save the Jews. Why? Because the men and women that were Jews couldn't obey those laws. It was impossible. They were too much of a sinner, and we all are too much of a sinner to perfectly obey God's commands. And so the law, all the law did was condemn them. The law said, you broke me. You're condemned to death. That's what the law did. So when we think we're going to do a good thing and God's going to say, good job, the reality is we're going to somehow violate God's law, and the law is going to say, you're condemned before God. That's why we got to come to God through faith and believe in Jesus Christ. So verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. Okay, what does that mean? Anyone who tries to do good works and follow God's laws, you're cursed. You're cursed. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. You try and obey the law to be good before God and accepted by God, you're cursed by God instead. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Look at Deuteronomy 27:26. Deuteronomy 27:26. Cursed is he, Deuteronomy 27:26. Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. And all the people shall say, Amen. Wow. Deuteronomy. That's where that's the fifth and last book that Moses wrote. And it records after 40 years of all the people dying in the wilderness, they all died except for the people who were underage, and they grew up and they had kids and they were able to go into the promised land. Why'd they die? Because they didn't have faith, it says in the New Testament. They didn't believe. And so God condemned them all, and then he said, and if you don't obey the laws, you're likewise condemned. You're cursed if you don't obey every single law. The New Testament tells us, if you break one law, you've broken them all. Verse 10, we're going to reread it. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Verse 11, now that no one is justified by the law, before God is evident. For the righteous man shall live by faith. Let's look at
at Habakkuk 2:4. Habakkuk 2:4. That's one you turn to every day, right? Habakkuk 2:4. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. Okay. So, you know, are we going to be proud and say, I've done good things, God? Your soul's not right within you if you come to God and say, I'm proud, I've done good things. You have to let me into heaven because I've done good things. Okay? No. The righteous man will live by faith. Okay? Believing that God will forgive his sin. Not saying, I'm good, you need to accept me. As I said earlier, we're like someone who is an expert in the martial arts. When someone comes at you, if you know jiu-jitsu or judo or karate or the other martial arts, you don't try to push back against someone who's pushing you. What do? You move away and let them go, continue the way they're going. You let them push, or you deflect. And so their pushing is just goes into the air. You can't fight against the law, God's law, and win. You push back and say, I'm going to do good. The law is more powerful and will beat you and you will die. But instead, we let the law come and say, the law says to us, you should die, you're a sinner. And we say, yes, I should die, I'm a sinner. And we say that to God. And we say, but I believe that Christ died for me. And so now I'm free from the power of the law condemning me anymore. And we basically deflect that law that's condemning us, and we're free. We don't want to try to be proud that we were stronger than the law and we were able to obey the law. No, we are meek and humble. We're not proud, and we say, "I'm guilty of sin, but Jesus is good, and I accept and believe that I can receive His righteousness." Not my own righteousness, but God's righteousness. I don't have any righteousness. So, verse 12. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. If you're going to say, I will be judged by the law, well, then you got to live by those laws, and you can't. It's impossible. Verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And we're not going to look up every reference. In order that in Christ Jesus, everything in this, by the way, in your handout, everything in all caps, that's just a quotation from the Old Testament. Okay, we're just not going to look all of those up. But verse 14, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the gospel applies to the Jews. Why? Because the law came, and basically, it says, you're cursed. The law just cursed them. When we get to the next section of Galatians, Paul's going to say, well, did God make a mistake giving us the law? It doesn't seem very useful. Abraham was justified by faith before the law even came. Okay? 400 years before the law came. And then the law comes, and it just curses everybody. And so Paul says, so you're going to ask, what's the purpose of the law then? Why did God give us the law? And we'll have to wait for next week to find out what was the purpose of the law. Of course, you can read ahead. It's in Galatians, okay? But think about it. It's all about belief in God justifying us through faith. God's grace through faith in Christ. It's grace. It's a gift from God. We don't get righteous by being personally righteous and doing good things. It's a gift of righteousness from God to us by the blood of Jesus. That's how we receive righteousness. And we can be accepted by God. God gives us the righteousness himself. And God's not going to question his own righteousness. That's what righteousness we have. God's going to look at that and say, that's perfect. That's my righteousness. You're approved because you don't have your own righteousness. You're not proud of your own good deeds. You're not trying to obey the laws and you're not trying to be related to somebody or do some act. Maybe follow some ceremony. You know, I'm going to be baptized or I'm going to take the Lord's Supper or I'm going to give money to the poor, or I'm going to travel to some distant land, and I'm going to do all these things, and that's so God's going to accept me. No, God won't accept you. Doing all those things, you're cursed when you do those things. You will be cursed because cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things. If you missed on one thing, you're cursed. No one has done all correctly except for Jesus Christ. So we live by faith. It's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So this gospel applies to the Jews, even those Jews who received the law. So what was that law about then? We're going to have to find out next time. It applies to the Jews. And he says, it's evident that the law is not of faith. He who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us, verse 13, from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, and he, etc. Verse 14, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What a plan. Promise to Abraham, back in verse 8 of this chapter, right there. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. And so, we had to wait a long time after Abraham to see it fulfilled, but then Jesus came and fulfilled it. And that's what happens here in verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Verse 14, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. What? Hey, the gospel, it applies universally. It doesn't matter what time in history. It doesn't matter which people. It doesn't matter what part of your life, whether it's your salvation or your sanctification or receiving blessings. All the time, it's God's grace. It's always God's grace. And it's through faith, and it comes by this, and God gives us the Spirit. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thanks that this good news, it really is good, Lord. It's good news for us because we were in dire straits, not able to survive the ranting and raving of the law against us because of our sin. And we would be condemned to death without this good news of salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone. We're thankful that 499 years ago, Martin Luther rediscovered these truths, and others like him rediscovered these truths and started the Reformation on Halloween. Heavenly Father, we believe in you. We trust in you. We have no pride in ourselves. You receive all the glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.